first of all, I just want to thank, first of all, I want to officially give a mazel tov to the Ozarowskis, to Reli and to Zmira, on the birth of their baby boy, the Shvizochat, Lachisar Bitol Shal Avinu, Bitol Bismano, and enjoy much nachas from him, from all the other children. Tonight, we'd like to focus on the idea, one of the most relevant aspects of Shemitah, and that is what to do in the kitchen when you have fruits of Perot Shviyat, fruit that has Perot Shviyat, how do we deal with it? What I started to do, rather than making it, is basically I took from one of the Sefer, Mishpatei Eretz, which is one of the, from the Tzur of Lachati, and basically photocopied his chapter on it, and we'll use that as the base, and we'll develop, and we'll work off that. So just pass out. As she said that, and we'll go through it, so you have something sort of to keep as a guide to the... There are two basic sparim that I have. There's one from the Mishpatei Eretz, and one from Machanas Rav Haaretz, but I think this one was a little bit more, seems a little bit more focused pragmatically. So we'll work off of that. There's one caveat I do have to acknowledge, confess, that word is appropriate. I haven't had that much time to be getting into Shemitah full force yet. So I very much would look forward to questions and all kinds of things. I may not have all the answers tonight, but it's good we're meeting now, so we have time before Shemitah to, you know, since you're all involved on day-to-day in the kitchen and all the questions that come up, you know, what do you do in this case, and I'll do in this case, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this. Now's the time to get all the clarity, you know, but to get the questions thinking about it, so even if we're not able to cover them tonight, this certainly gives us a chance to keep them in mind and to think about them for the coming Shemitah. Okay, just a little bit of background in terms of what is the issue, in terms of the appeals and the stuff. We know that the major issue, which I think of Ozarowski, then discussed in previous weeks, is the idea that you're not allowed to waste or ruin Peros Shviyas. It says, Vaitasha Bataras Lachem Le'ochla, that you're supposed to eat the fruits of Shviyas are meant to be eaten. The Lola have said, and not to waste, not to ruin. So I believe Rav Ozarowski discussed last week different types of what types of usages are permissible, what types of usages are not permissible. Judging from the outline he sent me, I think that was
I saw that he sent the link on the email, so I'm hoping to listen to it later.
Okay, so if we have to film later, we'll film later. Assuming that tonight we're not going to discuss so much in terms of the usages, that we're talking about regular cooking in the normal fashion, and what do you do if we have a situation, what do you do with as you're preparing the food, what do you do with the peels, you ate a fruit and you have the seeds or the pits left, what do you do with them? What do you do in terms of you've cooked a pot of something, and what do you about the water that's been cooked in? You've made food and people have finished eating and you have all the leftovers on the table. What's done with that? You've made chicken with something, with an orange of, you know, with an orange of Shemitah. Well, what if that's the chicken itself is not Shemitah, but it's been made with orange of Shemitah. What's the status of the chicken now? What do we do with that? So these are some of the many questions that we'll try to address in the course of the night, and certainly any questions that you have, please, I welcome to raise them. Okay. Your name, sorry.
Nikki.
That's the name, I think. All right. So the first question, basically, and that is mentioned the first halakha here, is talking about what do you do with the various forms of leftovers, garbage, whatever you want. And that's what we're going to discuss in the first halakha of the year. And interestingly, as I thought, one of the things which is one of the things, the beauty of Shemitah, just, you know, my wife always likes to say, when we talk to various people, sometimes we talk about, oh, they prefer to get either Yehonafi or Atzimachir, because it's so difficult to work with, you know, parents like Tusha Shviyas, it's such a big problem, and they don't want to get involved in this problem. And it's not necessarily such a, and that's something which I think is a certain mindset that a person has to go beyond, that after all, Shemitah is a mitzvah, And Shemitah, and according to the Ramban, I think of Rabbi mentioned the last, it is pointed some things to say mitzvah to eat fruits of Shemitah. Same way for the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We have Maaseh Sheni, we bring the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim, we eat the Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. We have a kohen, he's given chuma, the kohen is eating chuma. The kohen is a mitzvah in eating the chuma like kohen or going to Yerushalayim to eat the Maaseh Sheni. According to the Ramban, a person who eats the fruit of Shavuos is fulfilling the mitzvah. As we talk about Vaitah, Shabbat, Taharetz Lachem, La'achla, the Ramban understands that as a mitzvah to eat the fruits of Shavuos. So
the Ramban.
With the Nun. So the same way, no one's going to say that, well, Chuma, so I don't want to eat fruits from Israel, I want to only get imported. I only want to import fruits from America or from Europe because, oh, chumasomyces is such a big, you know, such a big hassle, and you know, I don't want the problems of chumasomyces.
People just say that in the Jaffa, aren't they?
There are people who say, okay, I'm not saying there aren't people who say, there are people who say the same thing about Shavuos. Okay, but the question is, do you want to be one of those people who say it? What do you say, you know? It's not a problem. This isn't a problem of Shavuos. There's an opportunity to have a mitzvah of eating fruits of Shavuos. And of course, given that the fruits of Shavuos have Kedusha, we need to deal with them in the proper manner. And I think that mindset is very, very, very important, because if we view it not as, you know, how do we either get around the problem of Shavuos, or how do we deal with the problem of Shavuos, but we have fruit that has Kedusha in it. This is fruit that Gur Eretz Yisrael, the Shemitah year, where the land is holy, a fruit having Kedusha in it. And our goal, ultimately, in all of this, is that the fruit should be eaten and not wasted. And in terms of all the dealings with everything we'll be discussing, is how do we avoid wasting and how to avoid degrading it. In fact, it's an interesting question of whether the person discussed whether there's an issue of way of degrading, let's say, tossing around Shemitah food, which may not necessarily ruin it, but just degrades it. Some said there's an element of including in this idea of Hefstah, not degrading Shemitah, not treating it in a disrespectful manner. It's even some element of that idea of the mentality, I think, should be a positive one of how are we able to eat the Shemitah fruits in a conducive manner, in a manner which reflects the Kedusha of the Yom Shemitah. Right? The flip side, of course, is that since we have the leftovers, how do we do it? So starting from the mentions here, Hano Hakul, this is what typically is recommended. Shemiyachadim pach miyuchad l'shirei perot yirakotu ma'achalim shel shviyat. Okay, so what's recommended, I guess there are differences in terms of the other options, but what's generally recommended is for a person should set aside a bin for Shemitah, for any food which we'll see surely it has Kedusha Shviyas. Ubukoyom machnisimet hashirai b'sakit nalan yefredet, to put the food into little plastic bags. So the simplest recommendation that he has here, there were other options over the course of time. What he recommends is to have a bin, you take a plastic container, you have leftovers, you finish the meal, you take the leftovers, put them into a plastic bag, you close the plastic bag, you let it sit there for a couple of day or two, depending on the type of food, the season, and the temperature in the house. And you let it until it's already no longer edible. At that point, you could dispose of it. And that's generally in a, you know, the big, you know, the main approach. That's the main point. Of course, there are many fine details. What has to be put, what has to be put. Now, they used to talk about it a little bit differently. I think they used to talk about having like a couple of boxes of putting, you know, day one, day two, day three, instead of moving or from one to another, or rather than putting into plastic bags. They used to talk about different bins. Why do we do that? Why do we talk about having different bins or talking about plastic bags? Because imagine for yourself if we had one, let's say for example take 3 days till it gets rotten. Let's say for example it takes 3 days. So if I put on today, I put food in, it begins to rot. If I come tomorrow and I put tomorrow's leftovers into the same bin, since today's has already begun to rot, so when I take tomorrow's fresh food and I pour it into today's food, I'm essentially already, since today's food has begun to rot, I'm taking tomorrow's fresh food, I'm putting it into the same bin with the already partially rotting food, I'm causing it, or I'm wasting it, I'm ruining it faster. And that's why there was and certainly if you're talking about for day three, which is already beginning even more advanced, but I'm going to take the fresh food and put it into the same bin, Right, so I'm basically causing the fresh food, right, from Tuesday, to be rotten faster by Sunday's food. That's why what they used to do is to have like three sort of, you know, from day one, day two, day three, and just sort of, you know, move along as you. I guess you'll have one day for today, then tomorrow you start another bit, then they have another one. What? It's bad that it's okay. So here's the funny thing, which you know.
It should be better because then it's.
Right. So okay. So this is where there's a funny thing which I have a little, now it's a little. I have a little dilemma with it, but the goal is, ultimately, we're not. The goal is we have the leftovers. We don't want. We can't actively ruin it. In other words, we're, in order to throw it out, we are waiting for it to be no longer edible. But we don't want to actively destroy it. Now, that's the balance that we're trying to do. We're waiting to, in order for us to dispose. While it's still edible, we shouldn't be disposing of it, because then if we take it and we throw it into the garbage, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking food which is edible. We're going to take some of this delicious watermelon, okay, and we're not going to eat it, and we throw it into the garbage. We're taking this edible piece of watermelon and we are wasting it, okay? So that if we wait until it's no longer edible, and then we throw into the garbage, it already has become wasted. We don't want to do something active to waste it. So on the one hand, we are waiting for it to become right, but I can't do things to make it get wasted faster than it would by itself. And that's the balance that we have, that's the balance that we're trying to do, over here. So that's in a nutshell, like I said, one of the things that they used to do was talk about these different bins. Okay, and this way, more or less, today's stuff is more or less the same thing, and tomorrow's stuff more or less the same thing, and the third day's stuff more or less the same thing. And moving over from day to day, and I guess by the third day you throw that out, and that becomes day one, and you have that constant cycle of bin one, two, three, and moving on the day. What he talks about here, which has more recently post-given, done this way, which I think is a little bit more pleasant, rather than having a bin sitting on your refrigerator with partially rotted food. Okay, so that's not the most appetizing. You put it into plastic bags, you finish the meal, you take the leftovers, you put it into a plastic bag, you close it, you let it sit in the bin. Okay, that's it. What?
Isn't closing the bag also actively doing something that's going to make it rot faster?
So this is where some which I have an in which I don't really have an answer to, because I've often wondered, as you all know, when you put, if you have stuff that you put into a bag and you close it, it's developing mold. Much more than any sudden that you have. If you just leave something out and it dries out, it won't develop mold for a long time, for a week. If you take something and you close it, it's going to start, especially if it's hot, it's going to start developing mold relatively fast. And in the Sefer here, they quote some agriculturalist scientist that says it doesn't make it rot faster. I'm not sure what that means, because you all see it gets moldy much faster. But one of the points that I think is critical to mention, that we're talking here about a situation of Brahma. If you put it into a bag and you close it, at the moment you're not doing anything. If I take something and I throw it in the garbage, okay, so at the moment that I've done it, it's because I've wasted, I've ruined it, I've made it non-edible. On the other hand, we all take food and we all put food into plastic bags and close them, right? The action that we're doing is not in any way ruining the food. The fact that in the course of a day or two or three it will begin to get moldy, so that we call gram. That's called grama. That's just indirectly causing. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since when we do it, nothing is actively ruining it, so that's why it's permitted in such a situation. So that's why the simplest recommendation to deal with the preferred way of dealing with the leftover shmita is after the meal, put the stuff into a plastic bag, close it, and then put it into a bin and let it sit there. And this way, you don't have to worry about the smell, you don't have to worry about whatever. And you just every once in a while, what you do have to make sure is that you don't want the bags to sit there for too long. Because if the bags sit there for too long, I remember when I was much younger, when I had a younger brother, when he was having a mold experiment, a science experiment. So I was doing this guy trying to talk about mold, and we had this, whatever it was, and we had a little cup. Right? Right? Yeah, okay. You can get all kinds of wonderful colors. You know, you have them pizzas that will, you know, just sit for a couple of days, and you get all kinds of green.
What's the preferred method? Is it preferred just because it's more convenient, or because heard.
Well, in terms of the alternatives, and the question is what it is, because we'll see, there are those who say that you can just take it and throw it right away into the garbage. There are those who say that once you put it into the plastic bag, you can just put it in the garbage on the assumption that, look, once it's in the bag, so whether it's sitting in the bin or it's sitting in the garbage bag, so although it's surrounded with other garbage, but since it's in its own bag, I'm not really wasting it. So there are those who do allow, so that's why I say preferred, because there are those who just allow, and for those who feel that, you know, to sit there and keep on top of it is too much problem, there are posts who allow putting it into a bag and putting it into the garbage and leaving it at that. They said, some posts, the reason I say prefer is that some posts are not so happy about that, because since, as you know, you take the garbage, and if the truck comes around, you know, with a compactor and squish, and the plastic bag just gets smushed, and then the bag breaks, and so then before the food has a chance to rot, it's being smushed together with all the other garbage. So that's why, in that sense, it's preferable to wait to it. As far as the waiting in between, you know, whether you want to go with different bins or you want to put it into a plastic bag, that's an issue of pragmatic preference. Okay, so there's halakhic preference as opposed to throwing into the garbage as is, and a pragmatic preference as opposed to keeping different bins. Okay, so it prefers to have it open bins. They're welcome to, but I think that. Right, so this is the basic recommendation.
Is it actually preferable to try to turn it into compost?
No, to turn to compost, I think would probably not be a good idea, because then you're using it in an unusual. That's really wasting. Then you take the.
It's not
edible.
Wasting it. It's like
it's not wasting. But one of the things we talk about wasting, we're talking about relative to human eating. Now, if you have food, let's say a piece of watermelon, which is human edible food, mm-hmm. and you use it, even say you give it to an animal, is a form. Feeding human food to an animal is also a form. It's also a form of wasting. So for those who have rabbits or whatever other rabbits, gerbils, or other animals that eat vegetables, a person who on Shemitah will take his Kedushas Shviyas perfectly edible food and will give it to his rabbit, that's also a form of wasting, because this food can be eaten by a human, and using it in a lower level usage is also a form of wasting. So you're talking about
So
leftovers, as long as it's still edible, if you're going to turn it into compost, so again,
giving the leftovers to an animal,
So that's a question: is it something which is going to be? Is it something which will be edible for once you've peeled it? This stuff which is not going to be eaten, right? So we talk about, say, for the oranges, one of the common things where the oranges, you have something where the peels are often fed to the animals, and the oranges themselves are eaten by people. So the parts of it which are not meant, or you have to peel a potato, right? So you peel a potato and the scraps are not eaten by people, but the stuff which is eaten by animals, that you can give to the animals. But stuff with the part, but a fresh tomato, usable cucumber, piece of lettuce that's perfectly edible, as kosher shviyas, should not be given to an animal, because by giving it to a lower usage, you are relatively wasting that food.
And would it be a problem to leave this garbage outside? Because that makes it rot faster? Putting it into the sun.
I would assume that it probably would be okay. And again, it's not, as long as you're not putting it in a situation which is going to actively make noise. If you put it in the backyard, your son is here. If you're putting it in a place where the sun is going to be shining on it, and doing so you're making it run faster, that would be probably a problem. But if you put it just outside a place which is in a shaded place where you're not actively causing it to run faster, that I think would be okay. Okay?
I'm just thinking practically, if you have it all in one bin, different bags,
right,
how are you going to know which, you're going to have to open them all up to see which?
Well, you can usually see.
You can see what's yucky and then what else.
Right, you can, right. So again, so this is a...
And that's hard, because then the day one is on that.
Right. Okay, so again, so you may want, so it may be helpful to use sort of both. It may be helpful to keep, put both ideas together. you know, sort of keep yourself bins for different days, just as a way of sorting, keep them in plastic bags.
You
so
just put like a stick or some and paint some.
What?
You know, like every day, like you put a, maybe like 3 days together and then wait and
then put them. No, so putting the 3 days together is the problem because the stuff that from day one to has already started to rot, but putting the fresh stuff into that, so then you're essentially ruining the current stuff because you're putting it together with stuff that's already begun to rot.
What if day one in the morning?
Okay, so again, so that becomes a question of how much is not right. Again, so this is part of the idea of if you work with plastic bags, it's less of an issue. You finish the meal, you put the leftovers in a bag, and it doesn't, that way you don't, again, it also solves that issue of, you know, from morning, sometimes you can have from morning to night, 12 hours, depending on what kind of food it is. So again, that's another advantage of doing the plastic bags, because then you can just do it at the end of the meal, you put it into a bag, and then, you know, that solves also the issue of the day, the stuff which is another half a day. So that's an advantage of using this method.
Is it a problem to put something in it that isn't tushachid? Like if you have some rice that's on the plate.
Okay, is there any problem mixing together non-kedusha shviyas leftovers with kedusha shviyas?
The chicken example
the other chicken have it. But even if we stuff together, let's say we're happy at the table, food, whatever, and after the kids had their hand, after the kids got to it, there's the pieces of watermelon, pieces of a pretzel, whatever, and pieces of whatever, and so it's just not the, you have to sit and pull out the pieces of pretzel. I don't think so, because I don't think it's making it any worse. The fact that you also have non-shvius items, I don't think it's making anything worse than the way it would have been before. Right. Okay, so let's see what this. Let's move on to halacha bet. So it says here, asur lashlich. We don't have to finish the whole thing tonight, so whatever we'll do, and whatever not, we'll have to continue at a different time. Asur lashlich lashpak kipot sheperot yirkot sheshviyit, im him uim lemachal adam, afil rak edeat chakrom kipot pokim umafkonim. So it says here, stuff which is edible, even if not fully edible, should not be thrown directly into the garbage. Okay, examples that he gives are, let's say, apple peels or cucumber peels, just as a survey. How many people peeled cucumbers before they came to Israel? How many people still peel cucumbers? Okay, right? I'm sorry?
Yes, I'm cooking the opposite.
No,
so
what?
When the pesticides in this pantry are so bad, that I'd rather peel them here.
Uh-huh.
It's not that
cool. Okay.
I think it's a different kind of cucumber here. Yeah,
okay.
In America,
okay.
In America, you can.
Yeah, you had those long, shiny ones. Okay, they're different. Okay, it's a different.
They're not waxed.
It's not waxed. Right. The same way. Okay. So
I think the wax is the main difference.
Okay. Or apples. What about apples? Who peels apples?
Depends what I'm using it for.
Depends what you're using it for.
That's
okay.
A child.
And we're with child, okay?
Who so you're using it for.
Okay, so those are examples of things that are not necessarily eaten by everybody, but certainly are edible. Okay, so stuff like, so when we talk about edible, we're not talking only about fully edible food, even food which is partially edible, some people eat, some people don't eat, also should be treated as food, and shouldn't be thrown into the garbage. Or should the book behem mi besar hapu? Here's where we get into the other issue. What about stuff, let's say a potato peel? No one really eats potato peels. However, when you take a peeler, you always have on it, depending on the, you know, the accuracy, there are different, as you know, there are different thicknesses of peelers. Okay, but you always have some of the actual fruit on it. So he mentions here that even stuff such as potato peels, which are not edible, should also be put into the Pach Shmita in order, because they have on them, also you talk about the carrot peels and stuff, the carrot peels also, maybe for example, serving on carrots, peel carrots. Okay, so we most there, okay, usually most people eat carrots, but not everyone, okay, it's possible to eat them without. But this is something which this is something where he mentions here that also should be put into the Pach Shmita, because not because the peel itself is edible, but because it has still attached to it actual fruit on it. hey, this is something I would like to check into further, whether this is agreed by everybody or this is a machlokes on this point. Okay, but he does at least mention that is his opinion here. That even peel such as potato peel should be put into the pouch. I mean, it makes a bit different. If you peel, you peel for Shabbos, you're making a challenge in your potatoes, that can be a quantity of peels. Okay, so I would like to double check on that point.
Well, what about something that you could really separate? So if it's something
a definition. If it's something that the peel is not that you have the peel itself and the peel is not edible, so then there's no need to put it. If it's not edible, then there's no need to treat it as and it won't have the shvias and you would not have it. The only issue have is in terms of says edible food, which we'll get to shortly. Okay, v'chein hadin begarinim hakdoshim klishan shvit kishvela. The same thing we talked about seeds. Okay, we'll talk about later as far as stuff which is not edible but is edible for animals that we'll get to shortly. Okay, so this is what we spoke about what is recommended to do and what one should not do is throw their up into the garbage. Now, one of the things we'll have to see shortly, and again, is this, how much is considered. You've cleaned off, the person has eaten, and there's a little bit of, before you wash the dishes, okay, which we'll see shortly, how much do you have to mafkid on this, what's considered a problem, right? Are you not allowed to, whenever you finish eating, you have chalent, and you ate the whole chalent, but you always know the little bits of chalent that always stick to the plate, right? So you have to sit there and scrape off. We can just wash it. So we'll see. So what's normally at the point that people don't ever bother thinking about can just be washed. There's no need to scrape off every last. There's no need to scrape off every last bit of the plate once people have finished eating and the plate is relatively clean. You don't have to worry about. We'll see that. Okay. Now he says here in Halacha Gimel, klipot she'enan ruyin la'adam v'lo la'beimah. Okay, that's what you sort of mentioned. You have peels that are not, let's say, if you have a nut. Okay, you have walnuts. Okay, you've shelled walnuts and you have the walnut peel. Walnut peels are not edible for anybody. I'm allergic to nuts and walnuts. I mean, are absolute no. The nut fruit itself is an absolute no. But first of all, eating walnuts, or then you have hard shells, and it's just not, the peel is completely not edible. Oshiruyot, this is an interesting idea. Or if you have stuff which in theory could be eaten, but no one uses it, it's not customary at all to use it. Alright, so this becomes a very, very important idea. For example, of course, the Gemara's time they talked about a broom. They used to use a lulav as a broom. And interestingly, the lulav, because it had kedusha shvius, because anything, why would a broom have kedusha shvius? Fascinating idea. The Gemara says that kedusha shvius are things that like eating. What happens when you eat something? You use it up as you benefit from it. Okay, so the benefit comes simultaneous, or the using up comes simultaneous with the eating. And therefore anything which the using up is simultaneous with the usage is something comparable. So for example, coloring is not allowed because if you use something to make beet juice to dye something. Okay? So then you're not really using it up as you're getting the benefit till the color adheres, takes a while, but meanwhile it's no longer been edible. So that's not considered a shemitah to use it. But a broomstick, at least they have a lulav as a broom, so as you're sweeping the floor, and you're getting the benefit of sweeping, the broom is cracking, and therefore that would have been considered something which is a usable shemitah issue. But we don't use palm branches for lulav anymore. So that's an example of something which may have had kedusha shvias then, but no longer. I wouldn't say the lulav now has kedusha shvias because no one uses palm branches to make. So that's the idea over here. That if you have certain foods, and maybe there have been times or places where it's been used for, where it may have been used for eating, but nowadays stuff like this is not used, and therefore you're allowed to. And some don't allow peels which could be edible but are not typically used. And this becomes a very critical question. Let's say, for example, we spoke about the orange peels and stuff like that, or other kinds of peels that are not typically eaten, but could be eaten, or if you are a farmer and you had cows or other kinds of animals that you might feed. So this is a machlokes, and again, here there's me talk about this. One of the things I think is important for you to be aware of the different opinions, because although that you mentioned stuff which could be eaten or could be given to animals, but it's not typically done so. So there are two opinions on that. Okay, so this is, I think, in this situation, where we go back to what we said at the beginning, a person can decide, you know, to have to worry about, well, the orange peel is going to have me crazy. Okay? So then such a situation, also, you know, if rather than having this sense of burden around you, there are those who say, since nowadays people don't eat them, people don't eat these peels, we don't have animals, again, for those people have animals and do feed them, there's something else. But in a situation where most people don't bother feeding these peels to, or these peels or these pits to the animals, that's not what's commonly done with them. So although some say that if it's edible, if it could be, it should have fish shigas and should also be put into the Shemitah bin. But if a person feels it's becoming, you know, they feel it as a burden, so there's room to align with the opinion to say, you know, I'll do on the other stuff which is clearly food, which is clearly edible, that'll put into the bin. And stuff like this, which is not really edible, but just, you know, could have been, but it's not typically done anymore, so on that I'll rely on the lineage of it. So this is something to be aware of, different opinions. Okay, and that's so continuing halacha dal, it's a similar idea. Same thing, perot birakot, shechelu leherakei, veinam roim kfar la'adam, achuim adayin lebehema. Okay, what happens if you have something, you have a fruit, and you took it out of the fridge, and you see, or you have a potato that was sitting and got banged, and it's really beginning to get a little bit, you know, it's really a little, it started to rot a little bit, you're not serving it to the family. But if you were to have an animal, you know, without a compunction, give it to them. Is this something at the point that I can really throw it out? Or, because it's no longer edible, it's already wasted. Or I say, no, look, I'm not going to serve it to the family anymore, so I'm not going to serve it to guests. Right, but to an animal, you know, the neighbor's dog, that I could do. So that's what he mentions over here. Fruits and vegetables have begun to rot. They're no longer edible for humans. But they still could be given to animals. So in places or people who typically use their partly spoiled food, they have animals, they have pets, or they have a kibbutz and they have a farm, and they have a dairy farm, whatever, they have a peanut chai, and therefore in such a situation where they give it to them. Okay, so then for sure, yesh lam tinat shipasov machal bema, wait until they're no longer edible for animals, vaza shetem lashka, and then you should throw them to the garbage. Im lo noagim lefitam bema, but in a situation where you typically don't bother giving these partly rotten potato, tomato, apple, whatever it is, to the animals, okay, because in the way you live, it's not customary. Most people don't have pets, and most people don't have farms, and most people don't have a peanut pie, and therefore the stuff which begins to rot usually does not go into the garbage, does not go to the animals. So again, he mentioned, so here again, we have two opinions on this issue, whether you can throw it straight into the garbage, or you can, or you should save it. And here's where, again, I would perhaps suggest, as again, there are actually, he has two opinions here, I would maybe suggest a third opinion. Okay? One could suggest, if you have something which is very partially rotten, so either put it into the Shemitah bin and let it wait a little bit longer, or some say you can throw it straight into the garbage. And there's a third possibility, you could put it into a bag and put it straight into the garbage. And thus, as a kind of a compromise, since we saw there are those who allow putting it into the bag and throwing it into the garbage. Okay, and here there are those who let you throw it straight into the garbage. So rather than putting it into a bag and let it sit on your decorating your fridge or whatever it is, you're decorating your counter for another day or two, something which has already begun to rot, it's already partially rotten, it's just, you know, it's the kind of thing which is no longer going to be edible for humans, but it could be used for an animal. So again, maybe here as a compromise position, I would say put that together with the other sheet, put that into put that into a plastic bag, and put that straight into the garbage. That way you have, it's a kind of a spec sake if you want to think of it halakhically, that might be a nice compromise position on stuff which has already begun to rot, rather than having to wait to have to decorate the counter for longer, put it into it, this way you're sort of in between your, I would think would be a good way of, a good recommended way of going, to get it into a bag and then go straight into the garbage.
If you normally throw things out in bags, because it's not a shmita yet, I yelped into a bag.
Right.
Like, Does it make a difference? Does it have to be some kind of hecker to you, or it's not so much an issue of a hecker
because this is here the issue. Let's say for example, when it comes to there's a little bit of a difference, which is interesting because he has in the footnotes here. How does this compare? Excuse me, to as a truma. Okay, we talk about a person's mafish is a person bought actual tether. Okay, or they picked from their own garden, and they're zochet, the mafish, truma, semaisis, and they cut off the truma, so or your mafish challah. Okay, what do you do with the dough? Right? So most people, some people burn it, but most people don't wrap it, preferably to double wrap it, then you throw it out. Okay, why are we throwing it? Because it's tameh, and since it's tameh, the kohen can't eat it. Therefore, so what are you supposed to do? So since it can't be eaten, so you need to dispose of it. There, we don't want to leave it around, because if a person were to eat it who's not a kohen, it's a problem to leave it around. We don't want to hashash takala, we don't want people to mistakenly eat it. We have to want to get rid of it. In the good old days, we actually bury it. Okay, there's one thing, very too much could be eaten. So there, we're interested in disposing of it, but there, since it has a kind of, there has the condition of truma, we don't want to disgrace. That's why we often recommend double bagging it as a way of showing kavod for it. The shmita, although we spoke about the kedusha shvias, it's a little bit different. It's not the same kedusha. We talked about truma the same way. The issue is that it shouldn't be. You don't want the issue here. We're primarily concerned about the issue of hefsek. You don't want to be in a position of being mafsid the fruit of shvius. So if you take, you have your dirty garbage and you throw your leftovers or your peels, whatever it is, into the garbage, so by doing so, you're being mafsid that food. That's why we wait until it's no longer edible. But the fact that I don't think there's so much an issue of the hekir here or anything of this or anything of the like, as long as you have not done it, as long as we haven't done something which is mafsid the fruits, I think it should be. I think it would be okay. I don't think that you need to show extra respect to the perishables in the same way as you do by truma.
You should be trying to really eat everything.
Correct, but that's the answer. You're making a very good point that there is a strong recommendation when you have shmita food. You don't give as large portions as you might necessarily give other hand, right? And when you serve other food, you're very happy to give the kids a full plate of vegetables and hoping that if they give them a full plate, maybe they'll eat half of it, they'll get half. That's okay. On Shemitah food, you don't want to give more than you expect. You know, take a little bit, and if you want that, take more. There is a goal of trying to cut down on leftovers, trying not to be in a position of giving jumbo portions. And then, well, I now have a lot to get wasted, try to give only a minute. That's a very good point. You should try to give a proportion. There is a whole discussion, what about giving a kid? Do you know you're going to give a kid, and he's going to sit there, especially a one-year-old or a half, two-year-old, and mush around the banana on the feeding table, and throw half of it on the floor, half of it on the apron. So some poskim say that you shouldn't be giving a kid food which you know he's going to absorb. Other poskim say no. This is his normal eating. Okay, and therefore, if this is the normal eating, so you can give it to the child. But again, I think here this point is well taken that a person should chachamin av berosho, and not give more than you know is going to be eaten, and not try to avoid being put in a position where you're going to have unnecessary shishuvias garbage out.
If you've got children, like you know, are more likely to waste the majority of their food. So you're better to give them a little shed food than to give their kids a mechira, for example.
I'm sorry? If?
If you know your children are going to waste a good portion of the food you give them.
Right.
So it's more better to feed their little shed food, if you've got the choice, rather than get a mechira.
Okay, so that becomes a question which has multiple facets to it. Okay, it's a very, very relevant question. Right? It's a very relevant question. So the question, well, first of all, when you mean that they're, so what do you mean that they're going to waste it? Okay? What? So why can't you give them a small piece? or give them a small portion.
Yes. Okay, they're eating haggis just right. because of Shemitah. Right. Right.
Okay. Right. So one issue is the question of how much you can you adjust? Can you adjust? And to say, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit, and if you want more, I'll give you more. You could decide that with another, and you could decide if you know it's just not going to work and it's going to be a lot wasted. So then you get into a question of what is involved in wasting it. If it's just going to be put into a bag, okay, they ate what they ate, and that's what I mentioned. Shlomo Zalman says, look, I gave them the portion, and that's how the kids eat, and the way kids eat is leaving over half. So it is not a problem in doing so. On a logistical level, if a person will feel that rather than having to deal with all these leftovers, they would rather give the kids the heter mechira, so that's a question of how, you know, where do you put the heter mechira into, how much do you rely? So if you take the heter mechira as basically acceptable, then you may say, fine. Okay, so maybe for myself, I'd rather try to take stuff which is as kedusha shavuos, but if I'm assuming the heter mechira, especially for the kids, I prefer to give the heter mechira because assuming that there is ample basis for it, and this way I don't have to waste the food. And there's merit in doing that.
But if they only said that you give them an apple, and they only eat half the apple, and then they decide that they're going to save the rest of it for later.
Right.
And you put it in the refrigerator, and then, you know, like things happen, and
okay. So that's one interesting halacha which is mentioned. Let's say for a person knows he only wants a half a fruit. Okay, so we're not going to say, well, if I cut the fruit and I leave over the half, so I'm sort of wasting the other half. I'm eating the half, and that's what I want to eat, the half, and that's perfectly legitimate. And the fact that half will be left over is not considered a problem. If you put it back in the fridge, and you see we reach the point where it's becoming not edible, so you can take it out of the fridge. And as I said, if it's still fully edible, it just be a little bit brown, but it's still edible. I like to just cut off the top layer and every apple, oxidizes, but you take off the top layer and it's going. If you take off the top layer, it's perfectly edible. So in that situation, I don't think you'd be able to throw it out. You have to put it into the bin, let it live for whatever, till it becomes only edible. On the other hand, I said, if it's really becoming at the point that it's not humanly edible, as I said, just put it into a bag and throw it into the garbage at that point, because it's already reached the point. If it's really, you know, if it's become really moldy, then you just throw it straight out. But if it's, no one's going to eat anymore, but it's, could be edible, as I said before, I just put it into a bag, and at that point put into the garbage as a compromise way of dealing.
What about liquid that if you cook carrots, we'll get to that later.
Okay, if you want, we can jump to that now, since you raised the question. Look at Yud Gimel. Okay. What is there a time frame here? What time do we? Because we're not going to finish everything tonight. So whenever you want to stop, we'll stop. We'll pick up the session next week. Okay. So 9:30-ish. Sounds good. Okay. Fine. All right. So let's jump just to Yud Gimel since you mentioned that. Mayim shebishlu o kavshu behem yirakot shel shviyit. Water in which you cooked. Okay. In which you cooked or you kavash. You soaked. Vegetables of shvius, more like pickled. You know, it's been soaked for a long, long time until it picks up. Not just that you have soaked the lettuce to wash, and it's been soaking in the. Maybe you made a brine out of it or something. Your kodesh shvius to tamam tafel v'lo nigmish tamesh ben. If it's not something, it really gets a flavor. For example, a classical example he talks about here, such as potatoes. You cook potatoes. Okay, I don't think there's anybody here who, after they cook the potatoes, uses the water of the potatoes. You finish cooking the potatoes, the water goes down the drain. So even though the water has some flavor in it, okay, it has some of the potato flavor in it, but there's no kedusha shviyas to that, because it's not this is flavor which nobody eats, therefore it's not considered food of shviyas, it doesn't have kedusha shviyas. Go mayim shibishlubim tapukhe adama, o shikavshu b'yom lafafonim, okay, or you just had some brine of. You made pickles. People don't typically eat or drink the pickling brine. I say Embam Kedusha Shvius Mutal Shavchem, you're allowed to pour that out. Aval, on the other hand, Maim Shebishlu Ben Perot Irakot Shederach Shtamesh Belam Atzmam Lamachal. What if you made soup though? You have carrots with Kedusha Shvius, or you have squash with Kedusha Shvius, you have beets of Kedusha Shvius, and you made borscht, and you have stuff which typically people do drink the liquid. Okay? So Gomrak Irakot, Oliftanim. Okay? Compote. So if it's okay, so here we can go back to the basic distinction we mentioned before. Is this something which is viewed as food or not? So if it's a liquid which you just cook vegetables, say you cook the string beans, okay? You cook string beans, people again typically just pour out the liquids, people don't drink, right? Or you soak the beans for the chon. Okay, so these liquids, even if it picked up the flavor, but it's not the kind of thing which people will use the liquid in any way, it's not considered food, and therefore it does not have to be, you know, it could be thrown out. On the other hand, stuff which has cooked in a way which you typically make a soup out of, where you do typically, as mentioned, beets, borscht, where you do this as a soup, so the leftover soup would have kedusha shvius, and the same thing would be, so you get a bit of a stronger bag so it doesn't open into a container, okay, so it doesn't leak all over. So if you have leftover soup, that would have kedusha shvius, that would have to be treated as anything else. Okay, maybe start to stock piling up on containers, you don't have to...
You have to put it in the garbage, right?
What?
You would have to put it in the garbage, not like in a garbage after waiting a few days, Could you wait a few days and then pour it down the drain? Or it has to be...
You say...
practical level.
Okay. So once it's already not edible at all, then you can pour it. It's no difference if you put it down the drain and put it into the garbage. That doesn't make a difference. Obviously, leaving it in the fridge for a week is not going to do the job. Okay? There are some people whose job is to finish leftovers. Every house has one of them. Okay, and they will tell you that you can slate the Shabbos soup after. You can slate the Shabbos soup on Friday afternoon when you're getting ready for the new soup. You can slate the Shabbos soup. So stuff which still can be eaten, and that's one good to have. Use over whatever leftovers can be used, it's preferable to do so, and if it's actually eat the kedusha shvius, but if it's at the point where no one's going to eat anymore, and it's just left in a container outside to the point that it's ready, no longer edible at all, then it does. I don't think there's really a difference between pouring it down the drain or putting it into the garbage.
But like, you can't use it for plants or something.
That takes it back to this question before about the compost. I tend to think not. Maybe we'll put that on. I'll try to address that next week with Hashem as well. So I'll try to address that. Okay. But my gut reaction is no. But I'd like to think about that.
If I make mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And I boil my potatoes.
Right.
But I typically use a little bit of that water to make it creamy. To make the mashed potatoes creamy, and then I spill out the rest. Sometimes when I boil vegetables, I pour it into my soup because it gives much flavor. Sometimes if I boil, let's say, vegetables for a kugel, like squash.
Right.
If I'm making chicken soup, then I'll pour that squash water into my chicken soup because it makes the chicken soup more flavorful. If I'm not making chicken soup, I'll just get rid of it.
You're learning what they're going on the people's kitchen.
All these hints I gotta pass on to my wife.
I
would assume that I think most of these things would follow sort of what's normal.
You are normal, well, or societal?
That is a good question. You're normal, or societal normal?
Then how do you know?
It may follow both.
There are areas
of Allah which you follow sort of both models. Either it's done typically or you typically do it, there are others of Allah, but we do look at both. Okay, let's leave that as a question. The fact that you save a little bit, I'm a little less concerned about the issue of the, about the issue of the potatoes. Since the bulk of it is thrown out, I think you just want a little bit of liquid. I don't think that's so much that you want. You want when you say creamier, you probably mean more.
Liquidy, smoother, right? So
I don't think it's so much that you want the flavor of the water. It's just you want a certain consistency. So again, I would be less concerned. I don't think that would be so much. I don't think that would make much of a difference.
Because
you know, it's not like you want the flavor. It's not like you're treating the water. I don't think that should be a problem. I'm going to put some milk in it. Milk, I'll make it creamy too, but make it milk. So the squash though is a little bit more there. Squash is often used for soup. I mean, it should be used potatoes for soup also, but I think squash, people will typically, you often have a squash a little bit more concerned about it. So I think there it's more common to use the liquid of squash, I think, is a little bit more commonly
used. It has flavor.
I think it has more flavor. And people will often make soup. People also often put potatoes in soup, but they don't really have potato. They typically have potato soup in quite the same way. Squash, I think, for many, often is an important ingredient in the soup. So the squash should be a little more concerned about. But that also, so again, we'll put that other question for next week as far as all these, we would draw the line of these borderline things, which are not often used, but sometimes used. All right, so we just finish up the last halacha here, Yudalid. What about oil? Ben-Zion likes to cook tonight, so tonight he decided to make french fries the good old way. I took a frying pan and filled up the frying pan with oil and just cut up the potatoes and dropped the potatoes one by one. Dropped a slice of potatoes into the frying pan and made them classical, good old style for french fries. So, Shem Mishal Shviyat, Shem Shal Akartikul, what happens if you have oil of Shviyat that you've used for frying? Right, that's a normal use, okay, even though you're not going to be eating it. But that's a normal use for oil, and therefore it's perfectly permissible. You can take oil of shviyas and use it for frying. So it says, "Asur la'shticho, kol zman she'efshar lahadlikho." Now here we have an interesting idea, that since oil is often used also for lighting, so even if it's already at the point that you're not going to eat it, but it's still usable for lighting, you shouldn't dispose of it. Elan nishar b'tachti takti kamut k'tana b'yoter she'efshar v'shar l'shtav k'argil. There he says, but if on the other hand you have, so this is a general rule that we mentioned before, if it's a very small quantity which people typically disregard, right, so that would be allowed to clean. But oil has a specific element here that because oil is often used for lighting, so therefore even if it's not going to be used for additional cooking, but since it can be used, if it's still usable for lighting, then it would still have fish issues.
And then you shut
light. Anyway, so this becomes a question of what do you do with it? At what point, even if you at what point would the oil not be usable for lighting?
What?
Right,
it turns black.
It turns. All right. So if it's at the point that it's already black and then rancid, then you want to. All right. And if it's still you fry it, the oil is still yellow. All right. If you leave it out, is that going to do anything to it? Well, it doesn't have to be refrigerated. I don't know.
It doesn't have to be refrigerated in the first place.
All right. So what should one do? Okay, so I have to look at it again as a question. So what do we do? What should you do with this oil?
In a situation, it's marinade with a lot of oil, lemon juice, whatever, and spice and marinade with chicken. But at the end of cooking with the chicken, there was still the marinade left. The oil hadn't been heated and, it hadn't gone through, a heating process.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mixed with the spice.
Right. Okay.
Right, so what do you do with
that?
So you had the oil?
I had the oil. It hadn't been cooked at all. It was
right.
Just left over in the marinade. So that oil
means
itself...
You put in...
spices, a bit of lemon juice, and added my raw chicken in.
Uh-huh.
mean, cook the chicken.
Well, I mean, like schnitzel, for example, you have schnitzel. If a lot of times you have the schnitzel, you have a tray of oil, and you take your schnitzel bread and you put it. Right? So it's like if you use kosher oil for that. So that's right. So then you have this.
The oil they serve, you wouldn't use for anything else because right. It's used for all sorts of other things.
So here what I think on a practical level, okay. So on a practical level, so this is probably, you know, in these situations, there's a person who should use some forethought of what you want to use kedusha shvius food for. Now, it's these kinds of uses where you're going to end up having oil left over, where there isn't that much to do with. Okay, it would probably be advisable to try to avoid using, you know, here's a situation where I would probably recommend trying to avoid using kosher shvius oil, because here it's going to be much harder to deal with.
That would be hard to find kosher shvius oil. I mean, I know there is salt-free juice.
Kosher shvius oil is going to be next year. It's going to be next year. I mean, look, it's very easy to get, you know, oil from Spain or whatever.
Right.
That's not such a. So does the kosher shvius oil should be used more like putting on a salad, okay? Are you going to eat it or putting it into a cake? You know, this is the thing. I think a person needs to use a little bit of forethought beforehand, not to create situations.
We should oven bake our schnitzel.
What?
And we should oven bake our schnitzel.
Oven bake your schnitzel. It's okay. Like, so again,
is canola oil ever a problem?
What?
Is canola oil?
I think that was on last week's outline. I don't know if you really had a chance to discuss it or not. I saw this outline last week. You said something last week. You said something about the question. Okay, I didn't get into a question with the. And so some question about that. But the particular issue of oil is that, just to bear in mind, that oil is not, unlike most other foods, it's either edible or not edible. Okay, but the issue is on the issue of edibility, but oil is also an additional aspect of burning, since that's its normal use, and even if it's no longer edible, but it's perfectly usable for lighting, that would still be considered food that has a kedusha shvius in it, because lighting it is something which is fair game for kedusha shvius, because it goes into what we mentioned before, as it burns, you get the benefit as it's used up. Therefore, lighting with oil is a fair usage of kedusha shvius, and therefore it would continue to have the kedusha shvius even afterwards. Okay, so if a person, so again, we'll have to think of try to think of a good practical solution, what to do with this oil. But I think, as I mentioned, I think it does pay, a person should think ahead of what kind of thing, when you have something with kedusha shvius, what kind of usages to do with it, and to try to, things where you know you're going to have a lot of unnecessary or difficult to deal with leftovers, maybe try to use one of the other options for those, and to focus the kedusha shvius usages for things which you know will be eaten in a more common, more fully. Okay? Yeah. So, you want to keep the sheet?